Thank you, Janine. You make my eyeballs leak. And that's a good thing. Welcome to God's house. I struggle deeply with the tension between tradition and just going crazy and worshiping God. Because I can tell you that as a human being and a pastor, I have been forgiven of massive brokenness, huge overpowering sin, amazing dysfunction, and it's not over yet. My purpose in life is that people will come to know the real Jesus. Because when you know that guy, you know you're safe. No matter what's happening to you, you're safe. So I'm going to tell you right away, this morning, the conventional book is going to get thrown out the window. I have a few words to say, but it's an exciting day today. And I just need to share with you that God created you for more than this. More than this. If you're feeling uncomfortable, if you're feeling broken, if you're sick, if you're disturbed, just praise God, because He didn't create you for this. He created you to live with Him. It's not complicated, but we make it so complicated. And we're so stuck on ourselves. I just think it's really funny. When we were traveling, I went to church 2 weeks in a row in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Some of you know where that is. It's 90-some degrees, the sun's shining, everybody everywhere is wearing shorts and sandals and t-shirts. And so I went to church in shorts and sandals and a sports shirt. They shook my hand and they welcomed me. They didn't ask me to sign the guest book, and they didn't ask me to stay for potluck. And I'm not offended. We're supposed to have soft hearts and thick skin. I recognize my brothers. Well, the next week I went with long pants and a shirt and a bow tie, still had the sandals. They asked me to sign the guest book and they asked me to stay for potluck. Aren't we a broken bunch? I tell you what, I just love us. But moving onward, just a few words. As soon as I find them, here we go. I like the verse that we had this morning. This from the New International Version. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. God created us to live with Him. That's His plan. So you feel discontented and disconnected, praise His name, because that's the reality. We're not completely satisfied here because this isn't where we're supposed to be. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this earth. If it were, my servants would fight." He created us for something much bigger, something much better, living at His house. So you should never be completely satisfied here. You will have happy moments, joyful moments, and He wants you to enjoy the life He's given you. But recognize the fact that the discontentment that you experience, He's put there because He wants you to recognize that He's got more than this planned for you. C.S. Lewis put it this way, "Fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary. What is seen unseen is eternal." And when we recognize that, it affects all of our decision-making processes. Because He planned more for you than this. This isn't His plan for you. Sometimes I get disturbed and I listen to some of the hymns we sing. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. But I don't like it when we talk about the fact that God gives and God takes away. God doesn't take away. The enemy's the one that takes away. God's the one who gives. In 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, "God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." And then Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Lamentations. I'm challenged to find all the necessary Bibles for these things this morning, but I'm working on it. Bear with me. Lamentations. And you know, Lamentations was Jeremiah's whining to God about what a tough time he had. In the book of Jeremiah, we read what God asked him to do, and then he's telling God how he feels about the whole thing. And it's important to recognize that this God we serve, this God we worship, is so much more than we can imagine. I guess I have to go to this one. It doesn't say the words the way I want them to, but we'll read them together. Lamentations. I'm glad that some of these things are in Scripture because it helps us understand that when we're having a tough time, don't think you're alone. Verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassion..." Oh, I'm sorry, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." He's designed you for more. And He will make it happen. Bow your hearts with me. Papa, this morning You've given us many opportunities to give You praise, and so as this service continues, take charge, overrule, and may Your voice and presence be heard. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you may remember that this is a special weekend. What is this weekend? Father's Day. You know, fathers are sometimes, well, they're broken too. But God intended that fathers are something special. So I've got to share a few things. First of all, in this United States, there's, depending on whose references you read, there's between 14 and 18% of single parents who are dads. Okay? We don't think about single parents being dads. They have just as tough a time raising a family by themselves as ladies have and mothers have raising a family by themselves. That wasn't God's plan either. He intended for two people to raise a family, a mother and a father. And when we forget that, things are not as great as they could be. So, Father's Day in the United States goes back over a century. In 1909, Sonora Dodd of Spokane, Washington, thought of the idea of Father's Day. After hearing a Mother's Day sermon, she thought it would be appropriate to also have a day honoring fathers. Her father in particular deserved recognition. William Smart, Sonora's father, was a Civil War veteran, farmer, and widower who had raised 6 children. The third Sunday of Smart's birth month of June 1910 was chosen by Spokane as the first Father's Day. Father's Day didn't get traction really quick. It wasn't until 1966 when President Lyndon B. Johnson issued the first presidential proclamation commemorating the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. That was the first time, 1966. 6 years later, in 1972, President Richard M. Nixon signed a law making Father's Day a permanent fixture of the third week in June. There are approximately 152 million males in the United States. Of these, about 46% are fathers. About 16% of all males in the U.S. have children younger than 18. There are 1.7 million single fathers. And then it talks about how they're broken down, widowed, divorced, so on. In 2010, approximately 17% of all U.S. preschoolers were cared for by their fathers while their mothers were at work. So dads, you're important. Oh, and there's another statistic. Of the males in the United States, between the ages of 19 and 40, 56% who are not fathers today have as a goal to become a father. So that's encouraging. So this morning, I just want to take a couple minutes and recognize fathers. I like the hardware store. You guys like the hardware store? I'm kind of like Tim the Tool Man Taylor. Even if I can't afford to buy them, I like to go look. Last week, Janine, crazy lady, went with me to the Ace Hardware down there in Commerce City. That's an amazing place, by the way. All other Ace Hardware stores are kind of a shadow of that one. They've got more stuff in there. Anyway, I like red. My wife likes red, and I couldn't figure out what to get for the dads. So this might seem a bit dangerous. This is a box cutter knife. We're not on an airplane, so the TSA isn't going to give us any trouble. But what I want to do this morning, just because I can, is I want to recognize the dads, both ones that are dads and ones that may be dads someday. You know, so if you're a guy, you get a box cutter knife. I didn't know how many to get. I can see that I have enough. So, here we go. And I guess you can pick the one you want. Make sure you get a good one, Martin. You're the first one on the list. And if you haven't had kids, you're still a dad to somebody, all right? Careful, is that the one you want? That kind of clashes. Oh, I guess you do have some red there on your bandana. Yeah, cool. Let me see. So I have no idea how well these will last, but that's not the idea. And they're still wrapped in plastic, so you shouldn't be able to hurt yourself right away. And I can't have sharp things, so I'm not giving myself one. There you go. We can stretch and reach, right, Nathan? I don't know if you're one of those 50-some percent that want to have kids someday, but I expect you are. So if I missed anybody? All right. We've got some extras for when we see some of our other dads. Put parentheses around that. So, I want a prayer now for our dads. Papa, fathers are important to you. You've identified yourself to us as our papa. And so, thank you this morning for your gift to us of earthly dads, earthly papas. I want to ask your blessing on the men in this congregation, those who are fathers, those who have never been, and those who will be. It's part of your plan. Thank you for hugging them up close and carrying them with you. In Jesus' name. And the congregation said, amen. All right. And the fun, as they say, is just beginning. You can throw the bulletin away. It doesn't mean a thing except for maybe the closing song. So the next thing on our agenda this morning is something I really get excited about. Why don't you join me in the book of Acts? The book of Acts. Let me see. Maybe this thing won't fail me here in this moment. Yep. Book of Acts, chapter 6. We're trying to move quickly, but we don't want to be insensitive to the importance of what we're doing. Acts chapter 6, starting with the first verse. During this time, as the disciples were increasing in numbers by leaps and bounds, and I want you to understand that word disciples is not talking about the 12. It's talking about the congregation. They're all disciples. Hard feelings developed among the Greek-speaking believers, Hellenists, toward the Hebrew-speaking believers because their widows were being discriminated against in the daily food lines. Does that sound any different than today? Organizational problems. He's getting something I'm not getting. I want mine. So the 12 called a meeting of the disciples. That's the church. They said it wouldn't be right for us to abandon our responsibilities for preaching and teaching the Word of God to help with the care of the poor. Sounds kind of callous, right? God has given gifts, and the 12 apostles were tasked with the purpose of preaching and praying. And they were smart enough to know that. So, friends, choose 7 men from among you whom everyone trusts, men full of the Holy Spirit and good sense, and we'll assign them this task. Meanwhile, we'll stick to our assigned tasks of prayer and speaking of God's word. The congregation thought it was a great idea. They went ahead and chose. And here's a list of the men they chose. Sounds like the first the first nominating committee. You know, that's nothing new, is it? And so they picked Stephen, Philip, called him by name, Procurius, Nicanor, Timian, Parmenius, and Nicholas. Then they presented them to the apostles. Praying, the apostles laid hands on them and commissioned them for their task. The word of God prospered. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased dramatically. Not at least a great many priests submitted themselves to the faith. And that was amazing because the church leaders didn't accept Jesus when he was here. Just helps you understand that with Jesus, it's never over till it's over. So this morning, we've got a great privilege. There's my friend Philip. I know he doesn't like being up front, but today's different. You can stand it, right? So Philip, I would like you and Cheryl too, because you're not by yourself. You're a team. All right? Come on up front. And I want elders, past and present, that would be Don and John and Martin. Brent, thank you. Dallas, you were an elder, weren't you? Come on up here. And we have a certificate here. It says here, Certificate of Ordination, Office of Deacon, Philip Esparza. Has the date. Philip, I hope you understand what a special guy I think you are. And I know you're already best friends with Papa. So, ordination does not qualify someone for a job. Ordination is us recognizing that God has already qualified them. Okay? And so in a special sense, it's setting you aside for the purpose that he's called you to. All right? So, are you comfortable kneeling? Okay. Well, let's all gather around him. Come on, guys. We're not stuck on tradition here. Gather around Philip. I want you to put your hands on him, okay? And if you can't get a hand on him, put a hand on somebody else. All right?
Reach out. That's good enough.
Then you'll be through with this, right? Yeah. Papa, we're excited about this man, Philip, your best friend. We're thanking you for the call you've put in his heart. We're thanking you for his willingness to hear and answer and follow your call. Like the rest of us, Philip's not perfect, and we don't expect him to be. And we're just recognizing what you've already done. We want to thank you this morning as we lay our hands on him according to the example of the 12 apostles in those centuries past, that in a special way, you will set Philip aside for your own purpose. Live in him. Be using him to show us who you really are. Thank you for blessing him with Cheryl. The two of them are one. We can't have one without the other. And so thank you for who you've made them. We ask your special blessing on both of them. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, Philip, for you, sir. Now, is there somebody here with a camera? We need to get a picture. Now, if you don't have one, you can use mine. Is it okay if we take a picture? I didn't ask you about that first. Janine, maybe you could come up and take a picture. Would that be all right? Karen, all right. You guys can stay up here. Well then, Janine, we can take two different pictures. Yeah.
Maybe we'll get one that's not taken.
Well, I have where's your camera?
That's okay. Pardon?
Where's your camera?
Somewhere. There you go. We'll get this done. Hold up the certificate in front of you. There you go. We're going to get frozen in place here pretty quick.
People up here?
Oh, okay. Thank you. Philip? Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
You too. It's okay, dear.
It's really messed up now.
Okay, good. We'll just drop it on the floor and it'll all be better. Thank you. In the Hebrew times, in the wilderness, on their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, if you remember, God told Moses, "Let them make me a sanctuary. I want to live with my friends." And so they did. Had a courtyard around it with a linen fence. And they had regular meetings there and worship there. And there were probably somewhere between 2 and 3 million of those individuals out there in that desert. And there's no way that they could all fit inside that sanctuary courtyard. So they developed something called a prayer shawl. The purpose for the prayer shawl was so that those people who were outside the fence of the sanctuary could still understand that they were wrapped in the presence of God. So the purpose of the prayer shawl is to constantly remind the person who has it, the owner, that no matter what happens, they're wrapped in the presence of God. And this morning, we have an individual here that's special to me. Her name's Rebecca. And she's having a tough time. She never expected anything like this in her life, did you? But you know, He's bigger than all that. He's got something better planned for you. This is just part of the journey. And so this morning I've asked permission, and we want to give Rebecca Salazar a prayer shawl. Want to give it to her, gather around her and pray for her? Because the journey she's walking right now is difficult. And her family is feeling that difficulty. And my wife, Janine, and one of her friends make these prayer shawls. And we're happy to be able to use them in this way. So, Rebecca, you're in a wheelchair. So I'm going to ask our church family to just gather around you. Come on, guys. Get on over here. I'm just proud she got to church. Amen? Yes.
Amen. Miracles do happen.
You know, I've been praying about you and over you for years, lady.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So now, if you don't like this color, you can blame Selena because she and Anastasia selected it.
Okay. But you know I would love it anyway.
Well, it does kind of look like it's going to match you.
Yeah.
So is it okay if I just kind of drape this around you?
I'm cold anyway.
Well, I understand. The air conditioning can be brutal, can't it?
Yes, it can.
So, you know, we're all gathered around here. And you don't have to stay over there. You're part of the family. Come on over here. We're inclusive, not exclusive. And you're not even wearing shorts and sandals. I mean, you're good. And your shirt matches my tie. So, I would like 3 volunteers besides myself to pray. Who wants to pray? Come on, don't be bashful. You, Don, one more. Okay, it'll be me, and I'll be last. Don, you want to go first?
Sure. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, precious Jesus. Lord, you never promised this life to be perfect. But Lord, sometimes the burden is more than we can carry. But that's when you step in. You said that my burden is light. So Lord, let this burden be light. Let Rebecca give this burden to you. Let the family give that burden to you. Let you carry it. Lord, we need healing. Most of all, we need your love. So as this shawl represents you wrapping your arms around her, let her feel that through the Holy Spirit's love. We ask this in your precious name.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for letting Rebecca join us here today. What a blessing she is in our church. Father, we just ask that you be with Rebecca and her family. Watch over them. Father, bring her healing. Let her know that just like the prayer shawl, we are just wrapped around her and we are praying for her and she's in our hearts and on our minds. Lord, watch her steps, guide her, and protect her. In your name. Amen.
Papa, I'm here with your best friend, Rebecca, and some of her best friends on earth. Nathan and Selena, Nathan and Anastasia and Catalina, and the rest of us. We know that the road ahead doesn't look too good. But instead of looking at the road ahead, help Rebecca to look at you and let you be concerned about the road. May this prayer shawl remind her that she's always wrapped in your presence and that she's safe there. Even when it's nasty and it hurts, she's still safe there. And we know that with one blink of your mind, you could bring complete physical healing. Of course, we ask you for that. We've seen you do that here before. We don't understand all that goes into those things. But we just trust you. And right now, with the gift of this prayer shawl, we're asking for your special dispensation in her life. Comfort, peace, acceptance. Because she is accepted by you. Not because of what she's done or didn't do, but because of what Jesus has done. And so right now, we give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You know, your glasses match that color.
My glasses match everything.
You made good selection.
And I'll always remember this as the arms of Jesus.
That's what it's supposed to be.
That's how I'll see it.
That's what it's supposed to represent.
Thank you.
Okay. Just give them the box.
You need a picture to send
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Can I have a picture?
Sure.
We don't know who made which one, but, you know, we always try and have a picture of the person that we give the prayer shawl to so we can share it. I'm going to picture the whole family there. Okay. Cheryl, do you mind just moving that way just a little bit? Ah, cool. You didn't have to go that far. We already took your picture, right? So you shouldn't feel bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cute.
And we've got another one here, too. Gonna be okay?
Yeah.
So here's the reality I want you all to remember. It really doesn't matter what I say. It matters what Jesus says to your heart through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, he that has ears, let him hear. And I see every one of you here has ears. So please listen to him. And if there's anything I've said that is a comfort and encouragement, we'll give him all the praise and all the worship. Let's bow our hearts. Papa, thank you for being here. Your presence is felt by us, around us, and in us. So we just want to thank you as we once again surrender our lives to your purpose, our lives to your control, our lives to the future that you've got planned for us, to give us an expected end and a home with you, starting here. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing song is hymn number 468, number 468. Let's stand as we sing together.
Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. My Father's own Son, the Savior of men, once wandered on earth as the poorest of them. But now he is pleading our pardon on high, that we may be his when he comes by and by. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still may I sing all glory to God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King.
Yes, that we're royals. We may not be like Meghan Markle, but we're royalty. We've been chosen by you. We've been picked by you. We've been carried and protected and provided for by you. So as we continue this journey, thank you for taking us with you until that day when you take us all the way home. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again.
Stick around for our fellowship meal.